Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And you can, if you want to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be while you're on the call today is out on Facebook. And you can join me out in the Sales Technology Training Program group out on Facebook. Go there now and look for the pinned post at the top of the page and go ahead and post a message there to say hello. And then as we go through the call today, feel free to share your takeaways there as well. Now, you can access the audio and the video recordings of the calls, or at least the audio recordings from the calls and then the other content out on the website. There's a membership page set up and there's a link in the email where you can get access to that. You can also just go out to salestechsystems.com/stp-archives. Now, the Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. And today, we're going to be talking about PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. And we'll jump into that content here in just a moment. One other thing I want to mention before we get started is I want to let you know about an upcoming webinar that I am doing on Thursday, November 13th. The topic is on 7 steps to create a multi-audio CD set. 7 steps to create a multi-audio CD set. So I'm going to be talking about how to choose a topic and title for an audio program you create, strategies to position yourself as an expert, how to structure the content, and I'll talk about keys to sell your information product as well. So if you'd like to register for that, you can go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/audio webinar. socialmediaoutcomes.com/audio webinar. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our topic for today. Again, today we're talking about PayPal invoicing and recurring payments. It's kind of an unusual topic, I think, considering all the other topics that we have in the program, but I think it's a great way to, in fact, today is, this is module 12 in the program. And so it's the last module, and then next week we'll be having a special group coaching call, and then we'll start back over on module 1 2 weeks from now. So if you haven't been participating lately and you're just jumping in now, now's a great time to get involved. I encourage you to add it to your calendar so you can join us each Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time for these calls. But I think this is a great topic to end the program with before we get started again, because it's a topic about making money. And a lot of strategies that you can implement, a lot of things that we're talking about in terms of leveraging technology, some of them help you make money indirectly, like setting appointments. But this technique specifically is how do you get more cash flow coming in? How do you get more money coming in the door? And I think it's very valuable to think about how to do that and implement strategies. And, you know, sometimes there's some strategies you can think about doing that you hadn't even thought about before. And once you take action on that, then it helps you to be able to produce more revenue in your business. Now, if you're not making enough money, then it might be because you're not making it easy enough for people to give you money. That's one way to look at it, is you want to make it easy for people to give you money. Of course, you still have to generate a sale. You have to go through the process of that. But ultimately, it comes down to having a way that you can ask for money and that people can pay it. And the more quickly that happens, usually the better. The more lag time that there is, you know, there are going to be problems or issues that come up. So you really want to make it easy when you have somebody who's interested, then make it easy for them to sign up, to purchase, to buy, whatever you have. So if you want to make more money, there's a value of in optimizing the way that people can pay you, thinking strategically about the ways that you can collect money. Now, of course, one of the simplest differences, I guess, or options that you have in terms of collecting money is whether you ask for a full payment or you have a payment plan option. Some of you might be representing businesses where if somebody wants to purchase something, they're going to have to pay in full. And if the product has to be shipped out, then there's a shipping cost associated with it as well. So you may not have that much of an option in that case. If you have your own business, then you really should have the capability to be able to structure how you collect payments, whether it's in full or whether you have a payment plan option. You could even have multiple payment plan options. But I'll caution you not to make things too difficult, not to give people too many choices. You may have heard the phrase, the confused mind doesn't buy. The confused mind doesn't buy. And I think that's a great mindset to have around this topic, because oftentimes in our efforts to try to make it easier on the customer, we end up confusing them. We end up providing too many options. They don't know what to select. And so the default option is always, well, I'm not sure what to do, so you know, let me think about it. And then there goes your sale. So the more clear you can be, but still giving your customer an option that will fit their needs is usually the best option. And you can have multiple payment plan options. You just may choose not to share all of them with the person that you're talking to. So it all comes down to really knowing your customer, understanding them, understanding what their needs are and what's going to be the best fit for them. Robert Kiyosaki said, business is like a wheelbarrow. Nothing happens until you start pushing. Let me repeat that again so you can reflect on that. Robert Kiyosaki said, business is like a wheelbarrow. Nothing happens until you start pushing. Now, you can take that quote there and you can define it however you want in terms of what pushing means. But the way I look at it is, if you want to be successful in your business, you're going to have to take action. You're going to have to get out there. You're going to have to reach out to customers. You're going to have to talk to them, touch base with them. You're going to have to follow up with them. And, you know, for a lot of people, they're just expecting the business to come to them. Like, all I have to do is just go out and let people know what I'm doing, and then people will just, you know, fall over themselves to sign up for what it is that I'm offering. But I haven't found that to be the case. I found that in order to generate sales, usually there is a lot of work that's involved. And there's, reaching out, developing relationships, prospecting people, following up over time, looking for ways to create value. And, oftentimes people want to see that you have, that you're in it for the long haul. You know, a lot of people, if they meet somebody for the first time and they're finding out that they're new, they don't really want to do business with them because they don't know if they're going to be around. They'd rather do business with somebody who has, you know, a true commitment to their work. And so, in some cases it might take days, weeks, months, even years before somebody is ready to move forward, ready to make a purchase from you. On the other hand, you might meet somebody for the first time and, you know, they're willing to purchase something. It just depends. And it depends on what kind of industry that you're in as well. Now, as we're going through the call today, I want you to remind you to join us out in the Facebook group. And go ahead and share your takeaways. And let's set a goal for today's call. Let me just do a quick check here. Let's set a goal of 30 comments for the call today. 30 comments. And I just posted a message out there with that just a moment ago. So feel free to join us out on the Facebook group and share your takeaways there. And we'll see if we can get up to 30 comments relatively quickly. Now, another topic is around how to invoice clients for work, the process of invoicing. And, you know, this used to be a lot harder to do. It's actually much easier these days. In the old days, like if you wanted to invoice a client, in some cases you had to, create an invoice in some kind of a software program or a spreadsheet and then print it out and then mail it out to them. And, of course, the advent of email makes it a lot easier to be able to communicate. And then online systems make it even easier. And so I wanted to draw your attention to a couple different systems that you can use for invoicing. And, each one has its own benefits in terms of making use of it. So one is the program QuickBooks. QuickBooks gives you an opportunity to create invoices. And you can email out invoices, and if you're using the online system, then the transaction can be handled through QuickBooks, and the money can go into your account. There are also different invoicing software tools that can be used to create invoices. Some people like to have just a standalone invoice software program that they can use to create an invoice and send it out. Another tool, something that's actually integrated in the Zoho suite of products, is Zoho Invoicing. And if you use Zoho as a CRM or customer relationship management solution, you might take a look at Zoho Invoicing. But it's just a simple way to be able to create an invoice. You can send out an email, and you can even integrate it into where people can click and then handle a payment through it as well. And then a final one that you can use, and actually one that I use on a regular basis, is PayPal. PayPal, in addition to providing people an opportunity to purchase online by embedding, say, a purchase link on a website, also can be used to create and send out an invoice. And I found this to be an easy way to collect money from customers. And the only disadvantage to it, or the only limitation, I should say, is it limits you to creating a total of 50 different invoice templates, 50 different templates. And for most businesses, that would probably not be a big deal. Most businesses don't have, well, I won't say most businesses, but a lot of businesses don't have, you know, more than 50 products or services that they offer. But I've hit that limit, and so if I ever have one that I want to add on, I have to take another template and delete it and then create a new template to replace it. But I found it very beneficial for offering services. So if you are in a service-based business, if you're a professional service provider and you have services that you use when working with clients, then this can be a great tool to use, because you just simply set up the template, you enter in the details about what it is that you're offering, you enter the amount, you can apply a discount if you want to, you can add notes in there, and then you add your customer in there and their email address, and then you click the send button, and it will send out an email. They'll receive it, and then they can click on the button, go out to PayPal, log in their account, and then make the payment. I think one of the best things about that is it's quick and easy. You can just handle one invoice at a time. So for anything where you're having a conversation with someone and then you need a way that you can collect payment, then that makes a great way to do it. Now, another technique that you can use is a merchant account. You can get a merchant account, and then you can collect credit cards. And so this is great if you tend to be in a situation where you have a lot of conversations with people, and your clients purchase by credit card. You can collect their credit card information, and then you can go into the merchant account and you can process it. Most of the merchant account programs have a virtual terminal, and that gives you an opportunity to basically go in, type in the credit card information and the amount, and then go ahead and process it there. And so then the transaction occurs. Now, one thing to consider with whatever method that you're using is oftentimes you're going to be paying some kind of a fee for that. If it's a credit card, then you're paying a percentage fee for using that credit card. If you're using PayPal, you're paying a fee off of that. Really, the only methods that don't cost you money technically would be if you're collecting using cash, or if you're collecting using a check. In the case of cash, you know, you don't want people mailing cash through the mail, so cash is usually best, you know, when you're live with somebody, like if you're doing a trade show event or something like that, you can collect cash, but then you also have to provide a receipt, so you need some kind of a sales log or book, you know, ideally with a receipt form that you can use to write out a receipt, and that way you have a record of it and they have a record of it. And if you're accepting checks can be a great way to collect payment either in person or via mail. Of course, with one of the disadvantages with checks is what happens if you deposit the check and there's not enough funds in the account. Then you potentially, that comes back to your account. You might get charged a fee. And usually that's not the case with PayPal or credit card. So that's one of the benefits to using PayPal or credit card in that instance. Now, let me just pop out to the Facebook page real quick here, and let's see here. Do a quick refresh and see what we're up to in terms of comments. Looks like we're at about 15, so great job. Go ahead and keep adding comments out there. I'll go ahead and I'll read some of those comments coming up here in a few minutes. And also, if you have any questions, now would be a great time to post those questions in the group, and then I'll come back and read those in a few minutes here. All right. Next up, let's talk about how you charge. So there's a distinction between getting paid for projects versus getting paid by the hour. So what are the differences between the two of those? Well, typically if you're getting paid on a project basis, then you have to define clearly what the project is. What is it that you're going to accomplish? And then come up with an amount, and then you charge that amount. And in that case, I'll give you an example here. Oftentimes when I'm working on a project for a client to build a website, then I charge by the project. So I'll say, here's what's included for the amount in terms of building the website, and that will be the fee. Another way to charge is by the hour, in which case you're literally keeping track of everything that you're doing and tracking the hours and the time, and then you charge for how many hours that you actually used. And both of those models can be good. And one of the things I want you to get into your head, you may have heard a lot of people saying don't charge by the hour. Well, here's the thing. Charging by the hour is better than not charging anything at all. And so, so number one, you don't want to be giving away free services on a regular basis. I mean, you certainly want to find ways to add value, but you do want to charge for your work. But don't get hung up in your head if you can't figure out how to do something, for instance, as a project or as a program or as a package, on the opportunity just to charge by the hour. Sometimes that might be the simplest route to go, is just to charge for the time that's spent. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can charge for your services. You can charge before, you can charge during, or you can charge after. And I'd see each one of those as a valid model. You can charge, for instance, a full amount in advance of doing the work, or even where you're charging by the hour. You can charge over the course of time. If you're using some kind of a ongoing service, then that service, that company might be billing on a monthly basis or even, say, twice per month, for instance. And then the other way to do it is afterward, like after the work is completed. Like if you go to the service shop and take your car in and they're going to do the work for you, typically they don't ask for the money up front. They don't estimate and say, okay, that's going to be $200. And then collect the money up front. They collect the money afterwards. Now, usually they won't necessarily bring your car around until you paid, or at least they're bringing the car around as you're paying. But each one of those models can work. So you want to think about what options and opportunities that you have to be able to charge for your work. And remember that you don't necessarily just have to follow one specific model. Like you just don't have to be a business that only charges by the project or only charges by the hour, or you don't have to be a business that just collects, before or collects after. You can use all these different models depending on the situation. The confused mind doesn't buy, so you don't want to overwhelm people with options. When you're making a presentation, when you're presenting what it is that you have to offer and then leading people to a next step, then you just simply share what opportunities are available. And I think in most cases, usually an either-or option is good. I usually wouldn't present people with more than two different options. The maximum that I would probably go would be three different options. Now, let's talk a little bit about recurring payments, because this is a big area for some people. Like in a lot of cases, you might be in a business where you don't get paid unless you sell something, right? You've got to sell something in order to generate some income. And so that means that every month, for instance, you start off with zero income. And in order to make enough money to pay, the expenses for your business and pay the expenses for your personal life, then you have to make X dollars of money in order to accomplish that. This is referred to by some as the monthly nut. the monthly nut, and that's how much money that you need to earn in order to basically to break even, you know, to cover all of your expenses. So you might want to take a look for your own business and figure out what your monthly nut is. How much do you need to earn each month to pay for business expenses and also your personal expenses? And then, you know, so the challenge is every month you're starting off and it's like having to start back over, brand new. Oh my gosh, now I have to make this amount of money again each month. So that's a challenging way to do business. So is there another way? Is there another way that you can build your business? Well, there is, and it is through having recurring payments. Now, ideally, this would be for something that would just be on an ongoing basis, and I'll give you an example of this. It would be for instance, for a bookkeeping service. So when you hire a bookkeeper, you hire them on an ongoing basis. And so every month, month in and month out, you're going to pay a fee to the bookkeeper. And they just collect that money on an ongoing basis and they do the work. So one of the things to think about, if you're in a business where you're only offering kind of one-off services and programs where people sign up and you get a payment and that's it, then you might want to think about how to structure your business where you're providing some kind of a monthly ongoing service. Now, there are also options to charge payments on programs or other services for shorter periods of time. And that could be anywhere from a couple of months to, say, 6 months or even a year, where you might be collecting payments over a period of time. Payment plans are good for a couple of reasons. One, it could very well be that for what you're offering, people may not get the full benefit of what it is that you're offering right away. And so they're getting benefit over time. And so if you allow them a payment plan option, that allows them to be able to pay that expense over time and experience the benefits over time as well. So think about how you can structure your business for a win-win. Now, another thing to consider here is how is the economy? The economy has a lot to do with, you know, how you're going to be able to collect money in your business. When times are good, when everybody is thriving, money is flowing, and it's easy to be able to collect money. And when the economy is challenging, when we're in an economic downturn, then it changes. Money tightens up. And so you might want to just check in with yourself and see where we are and see how things are going in your business. And you know what? The economy is relative, you know, based on a number of different factors. So you have to consider the national economy, but you also have to consider your local economy as well. Because I can tell you that, say, California has taken a lot longer to recover in some areas of California than in other parts of the country. You know, there are parts of the country that didn't really suffer too terrible recession after 2008, and there are other parts that were hit very hard. So you have to kind of check in and say, for the people that I'm reaching out to, and again, for a lot of people, you might be, you know, reaching out to people in your local area. Someone else might be reaching people all over the U.S. or all over the world. And so you have to think about the economy relative to your prospects, relative to your customers and clients, and think about how it's impacting them. And then as a result of that, then you change your practices in terms of how you collect money. And in general, if you're having a hard time getting money from people, then one of the areas to look is, well, one of the areas to look is pricing, of course. Take a look at how things are priced. Maybe you need to make some adjustments to your pricing. And then look at how you're collecting money and see if you can make alterations between the two of those. Now, another model, by the way, that you can use for your services, and again, this is more for service-based businesses where you have some kind of a professional service that you're offering, it's called the retainer model. And the retainer model works a little bit differently than, say, the bookkeeping model that I shared earlier, where you're paying a specific amount each month. In the case of the bookkeeping, typically, it's to cover, you know, whatever work needs to be done bookkeeping wise for the month. Whereas with a retainer model, oftentimes it'll be a retainer for a specific number of hours or amount of work. And so what I'm thinking here is something like more of an attorney model. So, you know, some people pay to have an attorney on hand. And the way the attorney works, instead of just paying the attorney by the hour, they charge based on a retainer. It could be like a one-time retainer, or it could be an ongoing retainer, like you pay X dollars and you get a certain number of hours per month that you can use. And then you have to figure out from there, you know, how do you handle those hours? What happens if the hours aren't used? Is it like a phone plan where you get rollover hours? Does it carry over to the next month? Or is it a use it or lose it model? These are all options to think about as you're working on finding, you know, figuring out how to get paid. Okay, in a moment I'm going to be checking out on the Facebook group. Just want to remind you to join me out in the Facebook group. Go ahead and post a message there to say hello, share your takeaways, and then also share any questions there as well. Okay, next up, let's talk about let's talk a little bit more about recurring payments, because I want to talk about this concept of how do you get money coming in over time. And first of all, when we're talking about recurring payments, usually we're talking about having some type of a system that will set up a recurring payment. So you can use PayPal to set up recurring payments. You can use a shopping cart to set up recurring payments, and that could be a recurring payment through PayPal, or it could be a recurring payment through a merchant account. You might be able to go in directly to a merchant account and set up a recurring payment. Another option, there's an option where you can do kind of like a check withdrawal from a bank. There's a service that allows you to basically create like a bank draft, and then that draft would go to the bank and draft the funds directly out of a checking account. That's another option for a recurring payment. So you've got multiple options, but you need to understand the technology. You need to understand how to set it up. You might need a specific tool to allow you to do that. I handle recurring payments in my business. I handle that through a shopping cart, which then links into PayPal. And so it gives me an opportunity to be able to have people go online to click a button to fill out their information, and it sets up a recurring payment to where it will automatically be charged over time. So I'm a big fan of any time I can set things up to where it's automated, where money comes in the door. And this is something you want to think about, is there's a lot of time that's involved in just collecting money. And the more that you can use automation in your business to save you time, and it's not just the time factor. And, you know, with time, there's the hassle factor of getting it done. But it's also, you know, it just may not be possible to follow up with somebody. You know, like if you're, you know, some businesses just strictly invoice. So they've got to go in, set up the invoice, send it. You know, what happens if the person's on vacation? What if the person's out of town? What if a medical emergency comes up? There are all sorts of issues that come up. So by automating the process, it automatically happens. You don't have to, you know, it's not going to create a hassle on your end, and it's not going to create a hassle on their end to have to worry about. So think about ways that you can set up recurring payments. Set a goal for that. And here's another idea. Set a goal for the amount of recurring income that you want, for the amount of recurring income that you want coming in the door, or recurring revenue. Now, here's another idea. You know, depending on how, you know, how big your business is, what your expenses are, you might want to consider having your goal equal your business expenses. Have your recurring revenue goal equal your business expenses. What that would mean is that once you reach that point, you will have enough recurring revenue coming in that your business expenses are automatically covered. What's nice about this is there's a, I guess you would call it like a peace of mind that comes from knowing that each month, when the month comes up, when you start out that month, you have enough money that will be coming in the door automatically, even if you did nothing, that you'd be able to pay for the business. That's a very powerful idea. Because what that does is it gives you that peace of mind so that now you can go out and generate sales so that you can pay for your personal life, you know, pay the rent, pay the mortgage, you know, pay the utilities and everything else. So, and ultimately, it would be nice to get to a point, you know, if you reach that point where your recurring revenue exceeds your business expenses and starts growing to the point where it could pay your personal expenses as well. Not every business has this opportunity to create that kind of recurring revenue model, but even if you don't, you might want to think and might want to ask yourself, is there a way that I could do that? Like for, and I'll just give you an example. Let's say that I'm trying to think of a business. Let's just say that you sell products. So you sell widgets. You know, maybe it's skincare products or something like that. And let's just say in this example that you don't have an option for recurring revenue. So you only get kind of one-off orders. Is there a way that you could generate money in your business to get recurring revenue? Good question. Well, what if you could offer some kind of a service that people would pay for on an ongoing basis? It's kind of not related to your core business of selling the products. It's something new that you would have to create, something new that people would pay you for on an ongoing basis. See, it's worth the time and effort to think about, because if you could accomplish that, if you could reach a point where you have a certain number of people paying you every single month, then you know, that would be a huge win in your business. Now, by the way, if you're in a network marketing business, then one of your opportunities is to get people on an auto ship. Auto ship is where they have a monthly recurring order that gets charged every single month, month in and month out, and that is revenue coming in, which gets counted toward your goal. And if you don't have that right now, if you have customers who periodically buy things, then I would encourage you to set that as a goal to accomplish. I was on the phone with a client today, and I was talking with them about this concept of setting a goal around getting a certain number of people on autoship. So this might be a valuable idea for you to think about. Because what's nice about that is, see, for a lot of network marketing businesses, they have a goal they have to reach each month to maintain a certain level. And so for folks who aren't on autoship, that means they've got to do the work of generating sales each month. Either it has to be personal volume or it has to come from their customers. And so wouldn't it be nice to get to a point where you have a certain number of people on autoship and that money is just rolling in each month, every month, on an ongoing basis? And really, you know, to be able to build a sustainable network marketing business, you need that. You need that coming in month out. And then it's just a matter of reaching out, touching base with people, making sure that they're satisfied with the product, and making some additional suggestions about alternate products over time as well. All right. Let me go ahead and check out in the Facebook group. I want to go out there and read some of the comments and answer any questions that you have. And it looks like we're up to 21 comments, so great job. All right, Rory posted a couple messages out there. He shared the link for the audio CD webinar coming up on November 13th. And let's see, Roy said, today is module 12 of 12. Next week is the bonus group coaching call. And then the week after that, we restart with module 1. Awesome. Roy said, limited buying options increases the probability of purchase. So what he's talking about there is, you know, if you add too many options, if you provide people too many options to buy, then it gets confusing, and then the confused mind doesn't buy. Lori said, reach out, be patient, add value to prospective clients. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm starting to do more of in my business is just pick up the phone and reach out and talk to people. You know, I do a lot of online marketing, and so I'm constantly communicating through email and through social media. But you know what? There are a lot of people that don't read their emails, and they don't check in on social media that much. And so you know, in marketing your business, in generating sales, you need to be reaching out through multiple channels, multiple ways of communicating. And so, you know, I'm reaching a whole different audience oftentimes, or I'm reaching people in a different way. And I have often found when I pick up the phone and call people that, you know, within 30 to 60 days, oftentimes those people will purchase something. And it's not because, you know, it's not always because I call and schedule an appointment. You know, sometimes that happens. But what I do find is oftentimes they start paying more attention to my messages. And by the way, as you're reaching out and making calls to people, check to see if you're connected out on social media. And if not, then connect with them. I did that today. I called and I spoke to someone, and then I went out and I added them as a friend on Facebook. And I checked out a little bit later, and they had approved that request. So now, in addition to receiving my emails, in addition to talking to me over the phone, now we're connected through Facebook. And I have another way that I can reach out and make contact. Let's see. Susan says, I came on late. Would you explain why limiting buying options increases the probability of purchase? That doesn't make sense to me. It goes back to the concept of the confused mind doesn't buy. I'll give you an example. If you let's just use a simple example. If you did a webinar and at the end of the webinar you offered people 10 payment plans, you would overwhelm people and you would probably not have any sales at all. If instead you offered two payment options, you offered a full pay option and you offered one payment plan, that would increase the number of sales. That's all that means. Lori said, PayPal, quick and easy. Yeah, it's a great service. I find that there are a couple people who struggle with it or have a challenge. There are some people that forget their passwords or they haven't set up their credit card or something like that. So sometimes you have to do some coaching with people and walk them through the process. I've actually spent time like on a web meeting or even a phone call walking through as people are going through the process to complete a transaction. And by the way, just one of the little things here I'll mention is that you know, you've got to value every sale. You have to value every sale. And what I found is that oftentimes, you know, I will go into my system and I will check to see if a sale went through. Like the way my shopping cart works is that people fill out the form, and then it goes in as an order, and then it goes through and gets processed through PayPal. And what I find sometimes is that the order goes in, but the transaction is not processed through PayPal. Sometimes they get through the process and they stop, and they don't complete it. Other times there's a hiccup and something happens, or they can't find the account or whatever else it is. But I monitor that on a daily basis. And if I see that there's a problem with an order, then I pick up the phone and I make a call and I check in and I find out what happened. So you've got to check your orders and make sure that everything's going through. And again, it's going to be different depending on whether, you know, like if you're just taking the order over the phone and then processing through a merchant account, then you're going to know right away whether it goes through or not. But if you're doing online marketing where people are going out and ordering online, then you're going to have to follow up and check to see what happened. And so, you know, make sure that you set that as a priority, because here's the thing. The further out it gets from when somebody, you know, goes to purchase to the time that you follow up, the less likely you are to be able to complete that sale. So the closer to the sale that you can reach out and touch base with them, the better. So you really got to monitor it daily. Now, you may not have orders coming in every single day, and you might have orders that come in based on events. Like if you do an event, like a teleseminar or a webinar, and you make an offer, and then people go out and purchase, then you get a sudden influx of activity. So then you've got more work to do, potentially, to go through and verify that everything went through properly. And so I go through and I compare. For every order that I come in my shopping cart, I go in, log into PayPal, and then I check each one, and I make sure it went through all the way. Now, another aspect to this is if you're setting up a recurring payment, then make sure that that process is all the way through. Verify that, because you might get the initial payment, but PayPal, for instance, might not set up the recurring payment. And if that's the case, then you're going to have to follow up. I recently found this out with a service that I'm providing. and I discovered that the initial payment was collected, but it didn't set up the recurring payment, and I didn't realize that. So now I'm going to have to remember in the future to go back and then go through the process again. So, you know, again, sometimes there are technical glitches. Sometimes with a shopping cart, you don't necessarily know until you get your first order on something. Like every time you set up something new, then, you know, you may not have an opportunity to go through and test it. So you have to pay attention when you get that first order. Because if there's a problem, you want to know right away so you can go in and correct it. You don't want to get 10 orders and then discover, you know, you're supposed to be getting recurring payments, but you only collected a one-time payment. So troubleshooting can be very important when you're dealing with that. All right, let me get back out to the Facebook group here. Roy said, Susan, Rick was commenting on the principle that the confused mind doesn't buy. What often happens when there are multiple purchase options online is that the shopper starts procrastinating, weighing purchase options, which can result in a non-purchase. To address this, sales page formats such as squeeze pages limit the number of actions the visitor can take. Yeah, absolutely. And I've often seen, like I've had some sales pages where I had three different payment options. And I got confused trying to read through the options about what was available, because what happens is, like, if you have a payment plan option, like the full pay is pretty easy to understand, but if you have a payment plan option, then you know, you have an initial amount and then you have an ongoing amount for a specific period of time. And so what happens is people start doing the math. You know, they start breaking down the math and say, okay, well, am I getting a discount on any one of these options? What is the discount? And so they're having to do this math, and that math is complicated and it's time consuming. And people, you know, some people don't even want to think about it. I mean, some people just go and purchase, but others, you know, they're more detail oriented. And people reach a certain point where they just don't want to have to deal with it. And so the easiest decision is always not to do anything, just to let it go. So, you know, that's something to consider. You might think that you're, you know, doing the customer a favor by offering them so many options, but you might be overwhelming them and preventing them from purchasing. So, you know, again, I favor an either or option. Sometimes I will offer three different options, but if you do, make sure it's not too complicated. You might even consider something like having the same down payment, but offering a different ongoing payment amount, so where it stretches it out longer. That way, at least they don't have to think, you know, comparing between two down payments, like it's either this one or that one. So there's all sorts of factors that are involved in that. Roy said, along with PayPal, another tool Rick recommended is Zoho. Yeah, Zoho has an invoicing application. I use Zoho, and I have a Zoho invoicing set up. I found it helpful in some cases. Like if you have somebody that doesn't want to pay through PayPal, like they want to just send you a check, then you wouldn't want to send them a PayPal invoice because they're not going to pay through PayPal. You will want to actually originate an invoice. And so Zoho will create the invoice. They'll send it out through email, and then people can just cut a check and mail it to you. So that's an option. But it's not, and it will also keep track. Like if you have an invoicing application like that, you're going to want to go back in, and once you receive payment, you want to note that in your system, because it'll keep a ledger there and keep track of how much money that you've collected through it. And then you can run a list to see, you know, what invoices have not been collected on. So those are simple tools. Lori says, what is the percentage for PayPal? Good question. Let me see if I can figure that out. It's something like probably about 2% or something like that. I think usually merchant fees are anywhere from about 2% to 4%. American Express usually is the most expensive merchant fee that gets charged. But let me see if I can do the math on this real quick. Let's see. One moment. Looks like it's about 0.03, which is about 3%. So 3% appears to be the amount, but I would double check that to see exactly what it is, but that appears to be the amount for it. Yeah, you're going to pay a certain amount of money to the service to be able to collect the funds, you know, versus having to go deal with a check. Because remember, with a check, you know, potentially the funds might not be available. You might get charged a fee. They might get charged a fee. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen in that regard. With PayPal, typically it's either coming out of a, that's another thing to consider. With PayPal, the money is either going to come out of a PayPal balance, or it's going to get charged to a credit card, or it's going to come out of the checking account. Now, by the way, if it's coming out of the checking account, oftentimes it'll use what they call like an e-check option, where the transaction will go through PayPal, but you won't get the money right away. The money will come in about 3 to 5 days. If it's going through a credit card, usually that will go through immediately. And, of course, if it's coming out of the PayPal balance, then it will come out immediately. You may not necessarily know exactly how that's coming out. I don't know if it always tells you the way that it's coming out. Obviously, if it's the e-check option, then it will be coming out of a checking account. But it's a good idea also as a consumer to maintain a little bit of a PayPal balance. And again, if you're using PayPal as a source, then you have money coming into your account. So just leave a little bit of a balance in there. And that way, if you have to pay for something, the money comes directly out of PayPal, the PayPal balance, rather than having to just go charge a transaction out to your credit card. Roy said, you charge before, during, or after, depending on the nature of the transaction. Yeah, all three of those options are possible. Most of the work that I do, I charge before. I don't try to deal with collecting payment after I offer a service or something like that. The only option options I offer where I charge during would be on a payment plan option, where typically it's a longer term program, and people have an option to be able to make a payment plan over time to pay that. Lori says, charge for your services before, during, or after, different options for different situations. Roy said, structure your payment policy so it fits both you and your buyer. Yeah, absolutely. And you can experiment with options over time. Don't be afraid to play around with it a little bit and try out different things. It's amazing, but sometimes just a slight change will result in sales, just like making a change. And remember that you can also do promotions. You can do a promotion for a specific period of time and offer a different option for payment, either a discounted amount or a payment plan, or even offer a bonus in there as well. Roy said, recurring payments generate revenue consistently over time. Yeah, it's nice to have that recurring revenue set up to where you know that a certain amount of money is coming in over time. And obviously, if you can be offering an ongoing service, even better, because that will come for a longer period of time. Now, if you do have recurring payments coming in on a short-term basis, you do want to keep track and monitor that. In fact, it's a good idea. I would recommend compiling or creating a spreadsheet that lists what recurring payments that you're getting, and then monitor that over time, because it could be that, you know, you're expecting all this money to come in, and it just happens to be that a bunch of recurring payments ended last month. And so you don't want to be stepping into the brand new month thinking that you're going to have, say, $2,000 in recurring revenue when you're actually only going to get $1,000. Or you don't want to walk in thinking you're getting $1,000 when you're only getting $500. So monitor that. Keep an eye on it. And that could spark you to do an additional promotion or set up an event or something else like that that will allow you to generate recurring revenue. And also, going back to the concept, if you're a network marketer, keep track of your auto ships. You should, sometimes you might be notified if somebody ends an auto ship, but you want to go in and check on a regular basis and make sure that all your auto ship orders are going through. Sometimes there might be a problem. Sometimes there's a problem, by the way, on credit card recurring payments because the expiration date comes up. So if somebody's credit card is going to expire in, say, December, and it's November, then you might have to take some kind of action to notify them to have them correct that situation. If you're using a merchant account as for the recurring payments, then you might have to go in manually and update that information. So just be aware that some situations like that are preventable. you can predict those in advance and you can deal with them. You don't want to be waiting on the back end when there's a problem and an issue that comes up. Roy said, you can set up recurring payments with PayPal, a shopping cart, a merchant account, or check withdrawals. Yeah, you have all sorts of different options. You can experiment with that. And by the way, if you want to explore the option of doing check withdrawals, like a check draft, I have a contact who owns a company that provides that service. And so I can connect you with them to explore that option. But it's an interesting option doing check drafts. There's a couple steps that are involved in getting it set up and getting it going, but that can be a very effective method. One nice thing about check drafts, you don't have to worry about expiration dates. There's no expiration date on a checking account. Once you have that draft process going, you don't have to worry about that. So that's one advantage that it has. And then also the fees can be a lot lower potentially than using a credit card. So if you have a recurring business income model, that might be an option for you to utilize. And finally, Roy said, good practice is setting a goal of having enough automatic recurring revenue coming in to at least cover your basic business expenses. Yeah, absolutely. It just kind of creates more of a peace of mind around your business. All right, we've got a couple minutes left on the call. Let me share a few more ideas here. Let me share some collection tips. I compiled a list of tips for collecting money. And you might want to jot these down in your notes. These are not in the notes that I sent out. I don't think they are. Actually, I might have put them in there. But let me just run through them. One is to be prepared. So be prepared. So if you have to collect money, then number one, usually you're going to have to do something proactively in terms of being able to collect the money. You're going to have to make a phone call. You're going to have to send an email. You might have to send a letter. There might be a couple different things to do, and you might want to do all those things or a combination of things as well. So you need to be prepared, and you need to be organized. Number two, be prepared to handle excuses. So when you call people to collect, I mean, nobody wants to be a collection agent, right? We don't want to be in the collection agent business. But there are times that you have to be the person collecting the funds or have an employee that does that for you. And so handling an excuse, you know, when you call and talk to someone and ask for money, it's similar to handling an objection in sales. So it's something that you know that you're probably going to hear an excuse. And so it's something that you can have a prepared response, a script that you could use in talking to them. And, you know, oftentimes when you're collecting money, sometimes it's not like a permanent situation that they're not going to have funds available. It might just be temporary. And so part of what you're doing is you're asking questions, you're probing, you're identifying, and you know, being able to resolve the situation. Another element is to know the facts. You know, make sure that you've done your research and then you understand what the situation is before you pick up the phone and reach out and touch base. Think positively. You know, when you pick up the phone and call, make sure that you have a positive outcome in mind for the call and that you know where you're going to lead your customer, your prospect, as you go through that. You don't want to be calling up with a negative mindset. That's not going to accomplish anything. Also, speak authoritatively. That doesn't mean to be mean or anything like that. It's just to speak with authority. Speak as if you know what you're talking about, which, again, if you're prepared, then you're going to be able to do that. And, you know, again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to quote a specific policy or something like that, but you can just state the terms clearly about, you know, what it is that you offer and, you know, how you collect funds, for instance. Take charge of the situation. And finally, get a commitment. Get a commitment. You know, the people who do act as collection agents, before they get off the phone, they want to get a commitment for payment, even if it's for a partial payment. So think about what kind of a commitment that you can get from somebody. And then finally, be flexible. Be flexible in terms of your approach. You may not be able to collect a full payment, but you might be able to collect a partial payment or have a specific date that you may be able to collect funds. All right, back to the Facebook group. And it looks like we're up to 32 comments. Great job. We hit our goal for the day. Let's see. Oh, we've got quite a few comments here. Roy said, a good practice is setting a goal. I already read that one. Susan said, I like this idea of determining how much recurring revenue I need to cover all my business expenses. I'm going to calculate what that amount is. Yeah, see, that right there, that could be a huge idea for you, Susan, just figuring that out and then setting a goal for generating recurring income, recurring revenue in your business to cover those business expenses. It could be a game changer for you. It just helps you adjust your mindset and your strategies to be able to accomplish that. It could shift the way that you think about your business. Susan says, when ramping up a business, you can manually invoice a few clients through PayPal until it makes financial sense to pay the monthly charge for a merchant account. Very good. Lori said, reach out, make phone calls, and make sure that you are connected on social media. Yeah, absolutely. Develop those relationships. Susan says, okay, thanks for the recap, Rick. I didn't know you were talking about an extreme number of buying options. Yeah, the example of 10 payment options is extreme, but I think even the difference between two payment options and three payment options could be the difference between, you know, doubling your sales on a call or a webinar. Roy said, value every sale, have a policy of making sure every order gets processed correctly, right, and follow up with the ones where there's an issue that comes up. Roy said, Rick describes an example where having many payment options resulted in a non-purchase. Susan says, I think PayPal charges 3% for a basic business account. That's a good point. There may be different percentage amounts depending on what account that you're using with PayPal. They do have different options, so you can check into that and see what other options are available. I think PayPal even has a merchant account option that's available, so you can explore that also. Roy said, Rick, maybe you could comment on membership sites as they relate to recurring payments. Good point. A membership site could be a way to generate recurring income. With a membership site, you have a website where people sign up for, and when they sign up for it, then a recurring payment where you have money coming into your account each month. And so that's a way that you could generate recurring income. Now, one of the nice things about membership sites is typically the amount that's charged on a monthly basis is pretty small. It could be anything from $10 a month to $20 a month. And I'm sure there are membership sites that charge even a couple hundred dollars a month on an ongoing basis. Of course, with a membership site, if people are paying on a recurring basis, oftentimes you need to make a commitment to add new content out to the site, membership-oriented content that they can access. There need to be new things, and you need to be notifying them what that new content is so they can go out and get access to it. But a membership site, it's kind of like a gym, you know. If it's priced right, you know, this is not necessarily a good thing, but, you know, oftentimes people pay for a gym and they won't even go use the service. But because it's such a low fee that's coming out, they will continue paying it because they like the thought that they have a gym that they could go to if they wanted to. And so a membership might be one of those things where they like the idea of having access to those resources even if they're not using them. Susan says, I have my PayPal business account set up to withdraw directly from my business checking account. Then I maintain a balance in the checking account and transfer money when needed. Very good. Roy said, Rick concludes auction tips. Lori said, be prepared. This is the motto for Girl Scouts. Awesome. All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour, and that means we're at the bottom of the call. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Think about what strategies that I shared with you today that you can make use of in your own business. What can you do to start tweaking and modifying the way that you collect funds? For some of you, it might be getting a merchant account. For others, it might be thinking about how you can implement a recurring revenue model in your business. For others, it might be exploring different options for invoicing clients, maybe trying PayPal as an invoicing tool or QuickBooks or something else. But just explore the different ways that you collect funds. Be flexible. Look for systems that are repeatable and duplicatable. Look toward mastery of systems. Like I would say I'm a master of the PayPal invoice. I don't use that for everything that I do, but I use it for some of the things that I do, and I'm very effective at doing it. I can go in quickly and do that. And by the way, if you're on the phone with somebody and they agree to sign up, then send out that invoice as quickly as possible, like in the next hour afterwards. Don't like wait 2 days and then send them an invoice. Do it right away. It's much more likely they'll take care of it right away. So again, it comes down to putting a priority and a focus in your business of collecting money, having more money coming in the door, increasing your cash flow. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up the call. I want to thank you for joining me. Remember, next week we've got a special group coaching call. So I will bring people live directly on the call with me and ask them to share a win, share a tip, or ask a question. And I'll provide some coaching to the people on the call. So be sure that you join me for that one. Have a great week, and God bless.